Hi, I'm Father Daniel DePlantis, a Catholic priest, martial artist, and host of the Karate Priest Podcast. Have you ever wondered what the Church teaches about different topics? Are you a martial arts enthusiast or just someone who wants to learn more about martial arts? I'd like to invite you to join me and many guests on my podcast as we cover topics of faith, everyday living, and martial arts on the Karate Priest Podcast.
Everybody, welcome back to the Religious Hippie Podcast, the podcast about being a young Catholic surviving in a secular world. This series of episodes is all about girl talk. Join me and my best friend Chloe as we give our best girl advice and answer your questions. Welcome back to the show, Chloe.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. This is an annual thing, though.
It is.
So last time we talked basically about how, you know, femininity looks different for everyone, but today's topic is basically making the best out of being single.
Yeah.
And like single life, what it means.
Yeah, and that definitely ties into the first topic that we talked about. For sure.
Heck yeah, it does. Yeah,
absolutely,
it does. And so we have our confessions and blessings.
Yes, we do.
So yeah, what's yours for this week?
You know what's crazy is I was gonna say, what's yours,
what's mine? Are you ready for this?
Am I? Because we'll find out.
Also, ladies, if you are old enough,
of age, meaning 21 and older,
grab a glass of wine or your favorite alcoholic drink and sit with us, or age appropriate beverage.
Yeah, if you Welch's are not. Works if you were under 21. Welch's sparkling Welch's, if you want to spice it up.
That's delicious.
So dude, good, right?
Heckin' yeah.
I got lit on that when I was like 15. It was amazing.
It's so good. Do you like the red kind or do you like the white kind? I like the red.
I know, but I am a white girl, but I meant meaning my preference with wine.
Good to know.
Yeah, but we got a good old bottle of Cooper's Hawk here, so if you are of age, feel free to drink a glass of wine with us or Welch's,
and you can
you can have
the best of both worlds.
You can have spilling the tea time. You can spill the tea but drink wine.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love it. So yes, grab an age appropriate beverage and join
with us.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so my confession for this week, I don't know if you're ready for this.
We'll find out.
I have been getting into so many Twitter fights online.
Oof.
And like, I don't usually have time for arguments on Twitter because they're literally pointless, because you have a limited amount of space to talk. Right. So you have to get rid of certain words that would actually convey a more appealing conversation.
Yeah.
Because you're just trying to get your point across.
But tweets hit different though, because they're so fast and they can get real, like a hot real fast. Yeah.
I literally was just posting the other day basically about how like one of the easiest ways to get possessed, obsessed, or oppressed by a demon is by not blessing your food.
Absolutely.
Because people curse food all the time.
And medications.
And people were literally fighting me on it the entire time. They're just like, this is so scrupulous. This is not a teaching of the Church. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm going to trust my exorcists.
Do you know what
over
they probably
you.
Are? They're probably hungry. On a serious note, yeah.
Have some pasta. Do you need some pasta, baby?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bless pasta.
Bless pasta.
Amen.
Honestly, though, like, people fought me on that, like, tooth and nail. And I was just like, this isn't controversial. It's just a fact. Like,
yeah.
If you, and they're just like, well, where do you draw the line? And I'm like, you bless everything you put into, should we bless our wine?
Honestly, we should, actually. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Bless us, O Lord, in these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen.
So if there was any demons on that wine,
she gone.
Get wrecked.
Water into wine.
More like turns wine into water. Okay, I'm done. Anyway.
This is going to be quite the episode.
Okay, so my blessing though, so is that I'm basically done with my classes for like the next, like I'm giving myself a break from college classes.
Yeah.
About a 3-week break, which is going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And I got an A in my last class, which was very hard.
So proud
she was
of you.
Extremely biased against Catholicism.
It happens most of the time, unfortunately.
It does. Yeah. But anyway, what's yours?
I would say my confession is that I need to work on I don't watch a lot of TV shows and movies. But I have found myself where I'm with a few friends and they put on a movie or a TV show. And it's not overall that it's a horrible show. It's not like a horror movie or anything where it's gory and absolutely disrespectful off the bat. But they'll say OMG a lot or GD. And it just makes me cringe, you know? And honestly, right. I'm at that point where my instinct is to say, turn it off.
Right.
You know? And so I my tolerance clearly is too high for that. Gotcha. Not that I ever say it or condone it, but I should be setting a good example to my friends and saying, you know what, turn it off.
Right.
Because you are complying in a sense. Even though you know it's wrong, you recognize that you don't like it, you are complying. So I don't want to be in compliance with taking the Lord's name in vain, even if it's not direct.
Right.
So there's that. And then I would say my blessing is the fact that I've been able to spend so much time with my family because we're all in such a transitional period. I'm the eldest of four siblings, you know, so I have three younger siblings. And it's just been really fantastic to be able to spend so much time with family because we're all at that age where we're going to start launching soon. So right. I'm just really grateful for the time
to the moon.
We have. Yeah.
Launching to
the moon.
Absolutely.
Where
else would you go?
Yes.
I love it. Well, those are good. Those are good.
Yeah. So don't feel guilty, girls, if you have something that you can, if you reflect on, you do an examination of conscience in your morning prayers, night prayers, and you're like, you know, I'm not okay with something I did. It's okay to hold yourself accountable, but not beat yourself into the ground for it.
Right.
Yeah.
You guys have to definitely take responsibility for that and be mm-hmm. like, okay, I definitely, it. You know, and apologize to God, you know, make your act of contrition, mm-hmm. but then just absolve yourself to do better the next day and be like, okay, next day I'm going to make myself aware of this mm-hmm. and make sure I limit myself on it.
Yeah. Cause the devil's number one goal is to hold yourself back from the sins you've made. Mm-hmm. And the Lord doesn't want that. Right. If you ask for forgiveness, he's forgiven you. You move on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Tea.
Wine. So today's topic is basically one of my favorites is how to make the most of being single.
Yeah.
We've all been single at one point. Sometimes when it's when we're 3 years old. Sometimes it's when we're 25 years old.
Yeah.
Sometimes when we're 80.
Hey, we're not there yet, but absolutely.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So live your life up.
I think being single though can be really hard in a mm-hmm. society that has so many romance movies pushed in your face, you know, like, oh, if you're not married by the time you're 25 and you don't have four kids, mm-hmm. well, now it's kind of the opposite. It's like, no, now you should have your own job, your own yep. career. You shouldn't get married and no kids.
If you get married in your 20s, they go, oh, don't waste your 20s.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Or you become one of those dog moms, and no offense to any dog moms out there really, but like,
yeah,
pets are not kids.
The problem is, again, it's all inverted, it's backwards, where that people make you feel ashamed for wanting a family young.
Yeah,
it's really sad, and it holds you back, you know. And I think it holds too much pressure on women, where the truth is most women naturally want to be mothers, whether it's through a religious vocation or not. Right If you want to go do it through marriage, you can do it either way.
Mm-hmm.
Not the same, but you can be motherly in both vocations.
And each vocation calls for a different type of person.
100%. But it's sad that people are put to shame and girls are discouraged from that. And a lot of women believe it and they fall for it. The lie, which is that you'll be giving up your life.
Right.
But in reality, you're starting your life.
Agreed. Yeah. And I mean, there's sacrifices that go along with both.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But for the most part, I mean, it's a sacrifice worth taking.
Yeah.
And you would want to take that sacrifice. That's the thing about your vocation is you feel called to it. You know, mm-hmm. it doesn't feel like a burden. I mean, mm-hmm. it's going to be hard. You're mm-hmm. going to sacrifice. You're going to suffer in each vocation,
oh, yeah.
no matter what. Like suffering is just a part of our lives. Mm-hmm. But you're going to be happy about it.
Yeah. There's
in a certain way.
Yeah. And the truth is we've been designed as women. So there's a religious vocation or there's to be a wife and a mother. There's no in between, truthfully. There really is not. I mean, you can vow a life of chastity and singleness, but truthfully, the only authentic way to do that is through the religious vocation.
Right.
There's no such thing as just a single life career woman and I'm still fulfilled. Mm-mm. No, that's especially not in the Catholic world, not the way God designed us. So you'll always have something missing until you commit to one of those motherly vocations.
Right. Yeah. And I would like to also point out that consecrated single life is also mm-hmm. a vocation that's 100%. Recognized by the church.
Yeah. Because some women can't have children.
Yeah.
You can absolutely still adopt. That's valid.
Right.
You know,
But I know some people that they were like, well, I just don't really feel called to be married at all. But I right. also don't want to be in a religious vocation, but I feel called to be single.
Mm-hmm.
So they go into basically this the single vocation, which is totally yeah. fine.
You can still live your life Christ-centered.
Yeah.
But you really have to be mindful, though.
But consecrated single life, that's completely different. Because I think, I believe you still live in some sort of community with women.
Yeah.
And you are basically abstaining. So in a way, mm-hmm. it's like religious life.
But not exactly a nun.
Right.
Right.
Right. Exactly. Or a sister.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Should probably do more research on that, to be honest, because like it interests me.
There's a lot of different sectors too. It's very interesting, and your yeah. options are not limited.
It's almost like Dominicans mm-hmm. versus Carmelites versus
absolutely yeah. yeah. And I think that's something too, is when you're single, you know, especially even as a young girl, a lot of girls like at a young age, you want to be with someone. That feeling is there for a reason. It's a God-given mm-hmm. feeling. It's okay to want a companion. It's okay to want a man in your life, whether or not you're young or not. The truth is we were designed that way, but we're put to shame for desiring that.
Right.
It's just that we have to be very mindful and prayerful about how we go about it. And before you, let's say, commit yourself to saying, I absolutely am going to be a wife and a mother, you still need to explore the religious vocation. Because the truth is when you get married, and if the Catholic priest is an authentic Catholic priest, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but there's definitely a lot of very modern Novus Ordo priests where things get skewed,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately.
Very lukewarm.
Yes. And the priests will ask you, what have you done to discern other vocations? You need to be able to answer that.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think it's more important to discern those vocations mm-hmm. when you are single, because then you have nothing tying you down.
You have so more clarity.
You can fully commit yeah. to that.
Yeah.
For however many months you need for that clarity.
Yeah.
And if that's not it, look, if you're dating somebody and you go to stay with religious sisters mm-hmm. and or nuns or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you have that expectation of going back to that person,
mm-hmm.
you know, unless you break up
in the back of your mind.
Yeah. Unless mm-hmm. you break up with them first, then go.
Yes.
Or you have this understanding, but in reality though, you will have that in your heart where you're just like, oh, yeah. well, I'm going to go back to this
person.
Things
are skewed.
Yeah.
And that's just the truth. Mm-hmm. So you might think, even though I'm with this person, no, I'll be able to detach.
Nope.
No, it's not the smart thing to do. Either you choose to date or you choose to explore the religious vocation. You got to pick one at a time.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important to keep them in their separate lanes.
Mm-hmm. Detachment is key.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which we're told like throughout Catholicism, like in general, detachment is key in a lot of things.
And I think that's something you and I should talk about, because
we can make a whole other podcast about
honestly,
it.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Because the truth is in today's society,
writing it down.
Do it. The truth is detachment is absolutely not advocated. The truth is a lot of people think, oh, I've got to find the one.
Oh,
the person,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm incomplete without them. I'd fall apart. My heart would drop into the ocean and shatter into a million people. Well, it wouldn't shatter. It's water. It would sink into the bottom of the ocean.
Depends on how hard it hits it.
Yeah, that's fair. It could be high up. It's like concrete.
Facts.
Oh, man. That's morbid. But yes. But it's like the truth is it actually shouldn't feel that way when you're yeah. dating someone. You should actually be detached to the point where if one of you decided tomorrow, you say, you know, the Lord told me one way or another that it's not meant to be, you should be able to be grateful for the time you had and say, God bless you, I'll pray for you and move on. If you feel like you'd fall apart, that's not a good sign.
And I want to say, I think the reason for that though, is because so many people these days are treating dating like marriage.
Yeah.
So they get so attached in the sense of like, I'm going to marry this person one day. Mm-hmm. And they give them all the wifey values that you should just give a man in marriage yeah. and not actually. And I'm not saying don't cook for him or don't.
Absolutely.
But like, you're not going to do his laundry.
No.
You can't live with him.
Yeah.
You know, if he does something like, I'm just saying though, it's like, I think the whole point that mm-hmm. women get so attached to their relationships mm-hmm. and they become so attached to that person is
yeah.
because they start treating dating as if they're already married,
right?
But without that commitment.
Mm-hmm. And the problem is men allow it.
Yes.
Because things are backwards. So they move in and everyone will tell you all these dating coach, quote unquote, dating coaches, but like, come on, dating coaches, you know, life experts that say you have to have a trial run. They act as if it's a Netflix account, like a subscription.
Yeah.
No, this is a human being. You do not need to sleep with each other to know whether or not you're compatible. That's a bold-faced lie.
Right.
You don't need to live with them in order mm-hmm. to know if marriage will work. Absolutely not. Those are lies from the devil.
And in fact, it's like the people who actually live with each other before marriage have
the
higher percent
of divorce rate.
Yeah, the divorce rate is high.
Especially people that are sexually active. I mean, it's like, it's insane, especially women who are on birth control too.
Right.
The divorce rate since birth control coming out, it's gone up 60%.
Yeah. It's insane.
It's insane.
It's actually insane.
You really have to be careful. So if you're a Catholic girl, and even if you're really young, do not make the mistake of marrying or dating someone who is not serious about committing their life to you as a leader in Christ with you.
Right.
It will be, you will be signing yourself up for a life of pain and suffering, and marriage already will be difficult. And there's a lot of saints and people that can attest to that. But the good news is that that Catholic marriage is, it has meaning to the suffering, versus if you have a man who's detached from the faith, not willing to lead you, it's going to be really, really hard for you, and your children will have a very hard life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think it can be very difficult in today's world because of the fact there aren't many options these days. And so girls will feel so pressured to just
find a decent guy.
First guy that gives them attention is like,
absolutely. I had an incident. I met a guy, my first normal boy, Sam, I had a normal boyfriend. You know, back when I was 18, we met. He was the first guy who wasn't overtly abusive, bare minimum, okay? And God bless him, though. Like, I don't mean to trash his reputation. Nobody will end up finding out who he is. But, the truth is it was not God-centered. Mm-hmm. I felt that. Yeah. And it took a toll on me. And I tried really hard to lead him to the faith, even though he was baptized.
But that's not your job.
It's not my job, and it's backwards, right?
Yes.
And so it's not worth the pain and suffering, because it's just wrong. It's not our place as women. So if you're young and you're interested in a guy, but he's not that Catholic, or, he's not even Catholic at all, but he doesn't show interest in devoting himself
to you or the faith.
Walk away. Even though the intention feels nice, walk away.
You can easily, and I think that's the hardest thing, is like finding guys like that, right? Mm-hmm. The guys who will commit themselves to you, the guys who aren't, jaded by what's been happening these days.
Yeah.
I mean, pornography is on an all-time high.
It's so sad.
And then it's also like, how do you bring those things up to guys when you do meet them? And you're just like, you don't want to go too far into the relationship without knowing these things, but how do you not be pushy about it?
Right.
And it's honestly, I just say it's so much better to be upfront with them and just ask them.
And they should be comfortable sharing that.
Like, don't waste your time.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no time like the present. We don't know what we'll have tomorrow. God chose to wake us up today. But we don't know what we'll have. And there's truly, especially with the Catholic perspective of dating, you don't waste time.
Right.
Either you see yourself marrying them and you keep praying really hard on whether or not you will be married one day, or there's no point.
Exactly.
If you think, if they change this, if they become this, it'll be good. No,
but those are all ifs.
They're all ifs. Don't base relationships on ifs.
Yes.
That's a rocky foundation.
In reality, like, it might be based off a fantasy you have in your head that isn't even the person you're dating. It's just who you want them to be.
Yeah. And you never want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've fallen into that for sure.
So that's definitely like a good point on like discerning your vocation into, like relationships and stuff. Like, don't settle for bare minimum. Make sure they're devoted to the faith and to you, and that they're they have that backbone, that leadership to be able to lead you.
Yeah,
because that is so important in Catholicism, but in life too. Because when it comes to those big decisions in life, I'm sorry, but as a woman, I don't want to make those.
Yeah, and
I don't mind having input.
Right, but the truth is there's a hierarchy for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest, I would say there's three major red flags, honestly, when it comes to if you're dating someone in the Catholic sector.
Let's do it.
The number one thing too, if they've truly grown as a man in the Catholic faith, you should be able to share your past, whether it's good or bad, and the things you've healed from, confessed, etc. You should be able to be honest, and it doesn't change the way they treat you in a negative way.
Right.
So if you've had a history with falling away from the church, which I know you and I have struggled with, if you share those things and they treat you inappropriately, negatively, hold it over your head, or anything of the sort, it's wrong.
Right.
Clearly, they are not deep enough in their faith. A true, mature Catholic man will be able to say, I understand why you did that. I'm happy you confessed it, and I'm really thankful to still have you in my life.
Right.
If it's truly anything other than that, you're done. Another one is, do they take their vocation seriously? Is he able to openly talk about, I want to be a wife and a husband? Guys.
I want to be a wife and a husband.
It's getting late.
It's 2022.
Anything goes. No, so want to be a wife, a husband,
my own kids, and
I have seven personalities.
I want to be a parfait.
I want to be a husband, and I want to be a father, and I'm willing to dedicate myself and to lead my children. They need to be upfront about that.
Yeah, they do.
And if they can't even say that, or they're like, maybe he shouldn't be dating.
The thing, if they can't communicate their intentions with you, don't date them.
Don't date them. They need to know what they want.
Yeah.
And I would say the third thing is, if they lead you into sin at all,
yeet out the window.
Seriously. Yeah, I mean,
okay, yeah, if it's one story, one story window.
Right. Just a little bit of a fall. Just like 5 or 6 feet.
Make sure that there's a bush underneath them.
Yeah, or like a little flower bed.
With thorns in.
But yeah, like just, those are, I would say, did that make sense?
I would say those are
three pretty major ones.
I agree.
Where it's hard to accept when one of them are involved. And also don't say, oh, it's just one of the three. No, it's any of the three.
Are deal breakers. Yes.
Unfortunately, and I promise it's from experience.
Agreed.
And not only that, but theologically, it's solid. You can research it.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Aquinas talks, there's, you should,
I think,
not,
Father Ripperger even talks about it.
Absolutely. You should not be settling in those categories. There's, of course, going to be differences. There's going to be little mini disagreements here and there, but you should be able to handle it in a mature way. If there's three foundational issues, run.
Yeah. Run the other direction.
And I don't run.
She's a runner. She's a track star.
I don't know
the rest of the lyrics. No, it's so true. It's so true. Yeah, I love that. And so I guess coming back to the point of it being like making the most out of your single life, it's like when you're discerning going into a relationship, keep those things in mind.
Yeah. Always, every day, pray on it.
Exactly. Like even if you're in a relationship, pray on it. Be like, God, if this is the man for me, like show me a sign, or just like keep, you know. And I think that happens a lot more than we think. If we ask God to show us a sign, or Saint Anne or somebody, like they will say something where you're like, oh my gosh, I just talked to God about this, and they're bringing it up. Absolutely. And didn't even know.
And it might show up in a way that you don't expect. What I love is, I love praying for Saint Michael, and I love, you know, if you pray to Saint Michael and ask him, please make sure that any divisive spirits that are in the way of this guy I'm dating, this girl I'm dating, please send them to the depths of hell, because you really want a lot of spiritual guidance on your side. You can't do protection this alone. You need protection.
St. Benedict medals are great. St. Michael medals are great.
Heck yeah.
And like asking the other person, like even what their view is on the supernatural side of things, because if they don't, like, I'm gonna be honest, I've met a lot of Catholics who don't believe the devil exists. And I'm like, that's a red flag, because that's one of the biggest lies the devil likes to tell us.
He doesn't exist.
And so because of that, that puts him or her in a lot of danger spiritually.
Yeah. Because ultimately, if you were to marry whoever you're dating, they're in charge of your soul.
Mm-hmm.
They are culpable. When they face, you know, the Lord on their judgment day, the Lord's going to say, how come your children and your wife is on the path to hell?
Right.
They're culpable. If they're not able to know the severity of the responsibility that they hold, that's concerning.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I completely agree.
Yeah.
I think that's also a good point. I think, but again, before you even start discerning dating, you should really discern religious life.
Definitely.
And then if you find religious life really is not your thing, go into, you know, go on to the next one, which could be if you are still single, you know, and you're like, okay, well, I got out of religious life, it wasn't for me, on to the next thing, then, you know, explore consecrated single life, you know.
Absolutely.
And then if that's really not your thing and you feel really called to be a mom, but like an actual mom, then discern dating.
Yeah. And I would say another good in-between step is, you know, I think a lot of young girls were very hurt, right, by the damage that's been done by society, modern thinking. Make sure that you're healed first. And that's hard to do, because I think a lot of girls, they go, you know, if I had the right guy, if I had the right guy, it'll fix me.
No. Sweetie, you fix yourself.
Don't go into that. Christ needs to heal you first, because you two are entering a partnership, not a therapist-client relationship.
Right.
And I think a lot of times that's what happens when people go into, of course, we're all wounded in some way, but you need to be able to sew up your wounds before you enter in a very serious, even just courting. That's serious, you know?
Right.
You don't want
to. Because we date to marry.
We date to marry, right? We don't just date to live together and be like, this is chill, you know?
All right, let's just buy a dog and that's it.
cat mom. Yeah. So you need to make sure you're okay with who you are and who your relationship with Christ first.
Facts.
Instead of trying to seek attention in order to fulfill something. Because if you don't feel fulfilled on your own, you're not going to feel fulfilled in a relationship.
Preach. Amen. I love that. Yeah. So true, though.
Yeah.
So I guess
it's hard to do that, but yeah.
I feel like this should just be a podcast on like vocations at this point.
There's a lot to talk about.
There is so much. This could be a part two too.
Yeah, know, honestly. It's a lot. And I think we put so much pressure on us as women to be perfect and to be, I know I've struggled with this. Some women haven't, but I've struggled with feeling not good enough because of my past. I feel like I'm not deserving of, you know, having a Catholic relationship, a Catholic marriage, et cetera. I feel left out, but those are lies again, because it's between you and God and nobody else. It's none of their business to know what level you're at when it comes to your spirituality. Right. It's about what's in your heart. And if you are doing your best to nurture and to love and to be Christ-centered, that's what matters, not your past.
I agree. And also like, when it comes to single life and stuff like that, that's when you really get to know yourself and become confident in yourself.
Absolutely.
And know, you know, what your hobbies are. Mm-hmm. Explore, travel, do anything you want to do, you know, like
journal, read, be comfortable with you and Christ.
Right.
Just be content. That's what I would say.
Contentment.
Being content with just you and your religious life as a Catholic woman, that is the absolute key.
I think it's something that actually draws actual devout Catholic men to you. Yes, is if they can see, sense that. Yeah.
Yeah.
They can actually see you and you're not looking for anything, but they're drawn to that, you know, because you're not looking for something and because they see you're a faithful Catholic woman who doesn't need a man to be faithful.
No.
In her own faith.
No. And it's not in the feminist aspect. Mm-mm. It's you truly shouldn't need a man to be completely faithful. They should absolutely assist you and help you.
Of course.
Strengthen that. That's their job.
But you don't need one to be Catholic.
No, because if you do, your marriage will be imbalanced and so will your family.
Correct.
So
I love that.
Yeah. So know that you're not alone. Whoever's listening to this, Amber and I want you to know you're not alone in the confusion, the hurt, the pain of whatever's happened in your past. We've been there, done that.
Still doing that.
Don't believe the lie of it's just you.
Right.
Yeah.
Because nowadays we're so isolated with social media and stuff. We can see all of our friends and relationships. We can see Valentine's Day stuff.
Makes you want to throw your phone into a river and be like, I'm going to be single Pringle forever. It's like, no, stop. Don't compare yourself.
I mean, maybe. I mean, not compare yourself, but like throw your phone into a...
Truly, like comparing has been the death of so much joy for me that I refuse to do it.
Same.
Yeah.
But I don't think for me it was in relationships. I think it was just like...
Just in general.
Anything. In general.
Other women.
Mm-hmm.
What they claim to post, whatever.
Right.
I think there's a lot of benefits to social media, but oh boy.
There's a lot of cons. Twisted.
Yeah.
I think that's all hard too. And so I highly suggest for like the single ladies out there who are trying to figure it out. I mean, it can be so disheartening when you see all of your friends in relationships, your friends getting married, your friends having babies. I mean, I'm there all the time. Like most of my friends have already gotten married. And so I'm always just like, another wedding. Hi.
Yeah.
And like, I'll go and like, I'm so happy for them. But then I'm like, okay, when is it my turn?
It's just like, you have to remind yourself. I'm with you. It's like, you just have to remind yourself, God has a plan for me. I don't know what that is. I can pray and I can ask for a certain vocation, but in the Lord's timing. And that's hard. That waiting game is hard. It's
waiting, but also trust, you know, trusting that like, it'll be the right timing. But then I also think there are certain things in our lives that we can really work on before getting married before getting in a relationship, such as making sure you're not in debt.
Oh, that's a huge thing. You have to be responsible in a single, when you're single, you have to be.
Right. Making sure you don't have any horrible addictions like pornography or alcoholism.
I'm sorry. If you're addicted to pornography, do not bother dating because that's cheating.
Yeah.
You're entering into a relationship whilst cheating. I don't know if anybody's told you otherwise, but it's not true.
Yeah.
If you are watching pornography while dating someone, you are cheating. You need to immediately confess that.
Yeah.
And stop.
It's a mortal sin.
It's a mortal, and it's not, oh, I did something wrong. No, you're cheating.
Yeah.
So don't do that.
Yeah. And I think it's hard nowadays because so many therapists push it for like therapy. They're like, oh, well, it'll release happy hormones.
They will always like, justify these.
They
things.
Will always try to justify something that will corrupt the soul,
mm-hmm.
which is so sad. But yeah, it's like any type of, you know, make sure that you're really working on yourself, your devout yeah. life, and making sure that you keep Jesus at the forefront of your life. Get Always. Rid of any addictions, debt. If you were anything that would keep you in the way of having a healthy, fruitful
mm-hmm.
faith life,
mm-hmm.
but also relationship where you might want to get married in a year after yep. meeting the person. Like, are you going to have debt that's going to, you know, have problems with that? Do you have school you need to finish? Do you have
yeah.
responsibilities you need to finish?
You should feel ready to make a commitment. If you have too many commitments in your life that are unfinished, you can't take that on.
Right.
Another thing is pray to your confirmation saint.
Ooh,
there's
yeah.
a reason why you picked them, right? Whether or not it was coerced. I know a lot of people, unfortunately, have experiences where their mom or their dad or their cousin said, oh, you're going to pick a guy or a girl. You're a girl or a guy. I mean, I was confirmed in a very Novus Ordo parish
mm-hmm.
and it definitely was not the way that a lot of Latins have been confirmed.
I was confirmed at Cantus,
exactly, which I love for you. But I picked, you know, Saint Teresa of Lisieux. Without her, Lisa? No.
Hello.
She's incredible, and she has intercessed for me so much.
Yeah.
And without her, I don't know what I would do. So take advantage of that, even if you don't feel really close to them,
mm-hmm.
whomever it is. Make a conscious effort to ask them to help you with your vocation. You will never feel alone when you pray for assistance from your confirmation saint, especially your guardian angel. Your guardian angel is willing and ready to act. Just call upon them.
Literally. That's all. They're literally just waiting.
They're
there.
Literally waiting. They're like, hey, I'm Hi. Here. I love you. Let's go.
They're literally just in the corner. Like, me and Chloe,
shaking their head.
Yeah, me and Chloe are literally always talking about how our guardian angels are probably so done with us at the end of the day.
Honestly, they're like, oh, again.
We sometimes talk for them, it's great. But
yeah.
like obviously we don't, but like you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And it's like hilarious because it's so true. I mean, there's so many things that they're aware of that we aren't, that they're like, you could just ask us for help.
Yeah, exactly.
And like we would do it in a split second, but y'all don't ask because y'all are stuck up.
Exactly. You have to ask.
Yeah.
Humble yourself to ask.
Humility is key.
Yep.
And I think that's another part, is like being humble enough to mm-hmm. Be rejected and when you mm-hmm. ask somebody out, or you know, to
feel lonely. You're
yeah.
gonna feel lonely at times.
Like humbling yourself in order to feel those things is being mm-hmm. like, recognize that loneliness is not always a bad thing. Yeah,
no.
Our world tries to push it that it's a bad thing, but in reality, like, you're never truly alone. You have the
no.
saints, you have Jesus, you have Our Lady, your guardian angel.
Yeah. And if you feel that void where you're like, I desperately want to be a wife and a mother, but I haven't found them yet, offer that feeling up.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many souls in purgatory that could be helped through that.
Agreed.
Offer it up.
Offer it up, babes.
Just reminded me of a topic we should do.
What?
Sad, I won't say it.
Oh, okay.
But like, we should definitely have a session about it.
Silly goose time.
It's low-key dark. Yeah,
I'm ready. Okay. Are we ready for some questions?
Let's do some questions. Let's get it.
Okay. Should women make the first move in pursuing a guy?
Ooh.
I mean, traditionally wise, mm-hmm. I don't think so. Because I truly believe that a guy should take the initiative, and
Agreed.
If he's truly interested in you,
you'll know.
He will make the commitment to go up to you
mm-hmm.
and do the authoritative thing and be
yep.
like, hey, do you want to go on a date?
You should never be guessing.
Yes.
That's plain and simple. You should never be going, ooh, does he like me?
Right.
He'll let you know. He should have enough confidence to do so. Plain and simple.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you are the kind of girl who does want to ask a guy out, okay, like, great, but
yeah.
also recognize that, like, why hasn't he asked you out?
Exactly.
Like, does he have a backbone? Is
right.
he authoritative?
Mm-hmm.
Can he lead?
And I'm not saying it's impossible. I know it's happened for a fact where mm-hmm. women, because the truth is the guy has a big crush on them and they like them.
And they're just nervous.
And they're nervous, but they still have those skills to lead. But it's typically not a good sign, but there's exceptions.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. Okay. I really like my best guy friend and he might like me too, but he isn't ready to date. Advice. Don't waste your time.
Don't bother.
I mean, I know you probably really like him and you guys are best friends.
Yeah.
I get that. I've had tons of guy best friends in my entire life
mm-hmm.
and some I really clicked with and I was like, oh my gosh, I could see myself dating them.
Mm-hmm.
Other guys, no.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely not. But honestly, if he's not ready to date, you also have to understand that he just might not be ready to date you. I know that that's a really humbling thing, and I don't want to be mean or anything, but that's the thing. A lot of guys are sometimes like, especially if he's your best friend, he's not going to tell you flat out like, I don't want to date you.
He doesn't want to hurt you. And the possibility too is that they know they're not ready.
Yes.
Right? They're still probably growing in their faith. What if they're dealing with chronic mortal sin and they, like, let's say they have porn addiction, right? Which a lot of men struggle with.
Unfortunately.
They know deep down. A lot of women too, but they know deep down, I can't date, right? And so they might be trying to protect you. There's many reasons, but if they're not ready, do not force it.
Yeah.
It's wrong. It's again, it's kind of going back to the don't let the girl chase the guy. Right. It's inverted. It's backwards.
Agreed. Yeah. Don't waste your time. I mean, you can, of course, like, just date, you know, like, date other guys, you know, look around. And if you don't feel called to anyone, don't force yourself into another relationship just because your best friend won't date you. I'm not saying you would, but I'm just saying, you know.
The one thing I will say, though, is a lot of times there's an there's something where I will say that's not acceptable. Let's say if you have a guy best friend. If they cross boundaries where they go slightly flirty, but they won't
date you,
then there's an issue.
Facts.
Because then he's just not willing to commit, but he wants the slight fulfillment of a relationship. It's a little bit, you know, tantalizing. They kind of find it entertaining. Then there's an issue. If he's completely respectful and platonic, respect it, leave it as that.
Right.
But if it crosses that line,
girl, run.
Yeah, there's an issue. Yeah.
I feel. Thoughts on being public with relationships on social media? I have seen some wait until engagement or maybe even marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So you already know my take on this, which is, what is the purpose of you wanting to post your relationship on social media?
What's the true reason?
Why do you want to do that? Is it to show off your fiance? Mm-hmm. Is it because as an influencer, right, I could post night and day about a future relationship I have, right? I could be like, oh my gosh, look at us, like wherever we are, like blah, blah, blah.
But why
would I do that, you know?
Right.
And also, like, would my future boyfriend, husband, whatever, be okay with that?
Yeah.
And if they're I am going to respect their decision to stay off social media.
Right.
And I am never going to post my kids on social media because they're, it's awful. Not safe. No.
I think it comes down to ultimately guarding your heart. So sure, you might absolutely be proud of them. You want to post it, whatever. The truth is, though, there's no need. Is there also, would it progress your relationship spiritually? Probably not. Right? Saying, oh, I love this person so much. It's one thing if you have, like, engagement photos.
That's different. But those are cute little milestones.
But I'm talking, this is my boyfriend. I love you so much. Happy Valentine's Day. It's like, come on.
Like, who cares?
What are you doing? You could show your best friend, look at this cute photo. But the truth is there a real need? Right. And would it progress you spiritually? Then if not, humble yourself and just keep it to yourself. That's just my opinion.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
What to do if the guy you like isn't Catholic, but you see a lot of potential in them converting? The first thing I would say is never date to convert. Yeah. That is something we should never do.
No.
I will say, though, because we do have a lot of limited options as Catholics, the church does permit us dating outside the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I come from a very long line of mixed marriages. Mm-hmm. My grandpa was Protestant, and my grandma was very devout Catholic, raised my dad and his sister and devout Catholics. Mm-hmm. And then on my mom's side, like, my great grandma converted for my grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a long line of mixed marriages, but she converted after they dated, they married.
That's key. Yeah.
So there's a lot of different things. I would say, though, you really need to be careful. You really need to be careful. This is not something you're just like, okay, I'm just going to go to a non-denominational church and pick out a cute boy. No, you really got to be careful.
I don't care how hot he is. If you are Catholic and you are dating a Baptist, girl,
I don't care how many chairs he can lift.
I don't care how good the fried chicken is after Sunday. Okay. I don't care if they got Dunkin' Donuts munchkies. Okay.
Okay. Wait.
I love munchkies.
I do too.
They're so good. But munchkies is cuter.
Facts.
So you're right. Be careful, because the truth is you're walking on the edge of a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see the end, right? You can go, I can get to the end. I can see it. But one slip up.
And that's it.
So you really have to be careful. And yes, we do have slimmer pickings, but be so mindful and prayerful with it.
And also, don't automatically go and look for another spouse in a different denomination.
Do not do that.
Be open. You know, if you meet somebody and they're just like, hey, cool, with Catholicism, thinking about converting, but, you know, don't, like, be, don't get your hopes up too high.
Don't go head first.
Yeah.
So like, you know, when you go to the swimming pool, you can go on that 10-foot skydive and you're ready to jump in. Nope. Think of it. That's different when you're dating a devout Catholic and you're both like ready to marry. And you're like, listen, we're just dating to see how this goes. And I can see myself marrying you. Go on the high dive and let's see how it goes.
Exactly.
But if you're at that point, dip your toes in.
And make sure you are strong in your faith, because some people will literally try to pull you away from your faith, you know, if they find out you're Catholic. And so sure you're strong in your faith.
Definitely.
You know?
Yeah.
How do you know if you're dating the right person, or when do you know you should break up? Chloe, you're good at this one.
Sure. So the number one thing is, the truth is I staunchly believe this. There's no such thing as the right person. Just like I think there's no such thing as a soulmate. Okay. I don't care if you're Cancer or whatever. I'm an Aquarium, but I don't believe in that. I know it's Aquarius, but like, I like fish. So I think it's all whatever. But when it comes to deciphering, come on, can you reread the question? I want to make sure.
No, you okay. How do you know if you are dating the right person?
Yeah. So, you know, first of all, by knowing what are your three big I talked about the three big foundational red flags, but those also coincide with the three major green flags of, do you both absolutely 100% agree on the faith and the big parts of the faith, right? If somebody's Novus Ordo, but you're traditional Latin, and you both disagree on major things like communion on the tongue versus communion on the hand, that's a big issue. Or, you know, this person thinks that, yeah, I'm Catholic, I go to church on Sunday, but I don't believe in the rosary, I don't believe in the devil, I don't believe in night prayers, morning prayers. That's a major issue. But if you both openly can say, we need to pray on discernment. It's the prayer for discernment is so important, and regularly. That's the number one way to tell if someone's right, is to for both of you to continually pray for discernment. You can't go wrong, and God will not fail you if you continue to pray for discernment. However, if you try to wing it on your own without God's help,
that never works out, guys.
Without the intercession of divine intervention, it will not work. So that's the number one way I would say to discern whether it's right or wrong, is through fervent prayer.
Love it.
Yeah.
Now, where are the boundaries when it comes to kissing? You told me something. What was it?
So, I mean, I spoke with a priest one time, and they did say, and he's a great priest, he said, listen, if you wouldn't do it with your father, I wouldn't do it. Now, I've also heard different things from different priests. The truth is if it gets to a sexual nature, and you can tell,
okay,
if it crosses a line to the point where it makes you uncomfortable, or you're feeling temptation within the act of what you're doing, you're going too far. Things can be, and it's about what you act on and what you don't. If one person, whether it's you or the guy you're with or vice versa, is making you feel pressured to move things inappropriately, I'm talking, kissing is one thing, holding hands is one thing, I'm talking being touchy, okay? There's appropriate places to touch, which can like be loving and caring
and hugging.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And then there's places where, yeah, no. Okay. And it doesn't take it. We can connect the dots.
Yeah.
So if you find yourself, especially like young girls, if you find yourself and the guy's touching you to the point where you can definitely tell there's too much passion involved, it's not appropriate.
Girl, run.
Yeah. It's just, and you need to draw the line. Stop them immediately and say, this is crossing the line, we need to stop.
Right.
And once you get to that point, you really got to be careful. Honestly, like, it should be two strikes and you're out. If they can't respect that, and if you find yourself having a hard time respecting that, if you find that their behavior tempting to the point where you're willing to cross the line,
right,
really watch out.
Because the main thing is it's like, it, at the end of the day, you want to date somebody who, if one of you has the temptation to sin, the other one is willing to stop and pull you out.
They want to help you,
because we are weak beings, really. Yeah,
we're very vulnerable.
And so if one of them's not willing to recognize that and be like, hey guys, we gotta stop, like,
we have to advocate for each other's souls, because that's why you marry someone, is to get each other to heaven. If you can't even do that in the dating stage, you're doomed for marriage. I know that's dark, but it's true. So there's
that's
that.
The tea.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
No, thank you.
This was a really silly goose
time. This was a silly goose time, that's for sure. We like to have a silly goose time, if you haven't noticed.
Yeah, we always do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, yeah, and we will have more to come.
Yeah, hopefully this helped.
Remember, you're not alone.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've been there, we are there,
we'll be there. Been there, done that, and us girls need to stick together. So whether you're 12 or 27 or older, whatever, us we women need you. To stick together. So
we got you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks right. so much.
Thanks, Amber.
All right, bye, guys.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to A Catholic's Perspective with me, The Religious Hippie. Make sure to visit my official website at thereligioushippie.com, and while you're there, be sure to sign up for my newsletter to keep up to date with my latest news and offerings. You can also find me on virtually any social media site as The Religious Hippie. Thanks for listening!
A quest is a search for something. And every week, the Quest podcast will show you how we know what we know through interviews with people that have incredible stories of dedication and perseverance. I'm your host, Todd Fisher. Join me in this thought-provoking and inspiring podcast of discovery. Find us anywhere you listen to podcasts. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please be sure to rate and review this episode. This podcast is produced by Todd Fisher and Anthony Smith and is distributed by Metacortex Publishing. This podcast is copyright. Any previously trademarked or copyright content is used by permission. Information and opinions stated in this podcast should not be construed as medical advice. Please be sure and visit the official website for Metacortex Publishing at metacortexpublishing.com or find us on social media for other unique content.